And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, you're fond of saying elections matter, and we had an election.
Yes.
So what happened? And what do you think about what happened?
Well,
actually, I know what happened.
We know what happened. Democrats had another big night.
They did.
Locally and statewide and nationally.
It's really weird, right? I mean, the polls all say Biden can't win, and the elections keep returning Democrats.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Some of them, like here in Lackawanna County, it was a pretty foregone conclusion after the primary. We saw the votes were made, and we have two new county commissioners, both Democratic, a former football player and a pro football player, and a former Scranton City Councilman. Both young guys. They're both in their 30s. Their combined age was less than the outgoing commissioner, Jerry Notariani.
Who was a dreadful commissioner.
Yeah.
Just a hack.
Well, he hung around too long. And on the Republican side, they had Chris Chermak, who made sure that his running mate was not going to outdistance him. He picked someone who was fairly obscure, a councilwoman from the borough of Mayfield. Mayfield is very small, and she wasn't well known. And the interesting thing about the returns, when you looked at them, although McGloin and Gaughan ran separate campaigns in the primary, they joined together and worked very well together in the general. And the separation between the two of them was only about 122 votes. Whereas in the Republican...
This is out of what, about 20,000 votes?
No, each got over 31,000.
30,000 votes, okay.
Uh-huh. 31,000. Uh-huh. And the Republican separation was 3,000 votes.
Out of how many?
Chermak got 19,000 and Campbell got 16,000. So, like I said, he was able to pull in someone who wasn't going to cost him his job as minority commissioner. So that was
and he keeps it, right?
He keeps it.
Because in Pennsylvania, there are three members elected, but the party can only put up two candidates. So there's always going to be a minority representation.
Except in some places, the minority commissioner has switched to join the majority party, that's been upheld as being allowed to do that. That happened, I think, in Montgomery County a couple of years ago with Joe Heffel, former gubernatorial candidate or senatorial candidate.
If I run in a primary and lose, mm-hmm. can I then petition to be on the opposing party's ballot as a candidate?
I do not believe. Some states you can. Most states have no, but... What happens is people will run write-in campaigns.
A write-in you can do. I know that.
Yeah. Or they get another party, a third party, to endorse them. And then they can run. But that's, here it just isn't worth it. I was going to note, down in Luzerne County, where they have this council form of government, 11 council person, and on. Right now, 10 of them are Republican. In a county that still has, I believe, a slight Democratic registration edge, but but it's a county that's been trending more and more and more Republican. Four Democrats won out of six seats that were up.
So it was 10-1, and now it's going to be 6-4. Well, 7-4.
It's going to be 6-5.
6-5. Wow.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And then around Philadelphia, the collar counties, the four of them, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, and Montgomery, all four elect the Democratic majorities in the council. So they're running the counties, which is important because that's who gets to run the elections in those counties. And that's where the, for the most part, the presidential race is going to be decided.
And Philadelphia was interesting. The council, in the council election, two working families candidates ran on the working families party ticket. That's a kind of a switch for them. They usually just endorse Democrats. And they knocked out two Republicans.
Yep. They're down to one Republican in the...
Philadelphia has the two-party system in Philadelphia are the Democrats and the Working Families Party.
It looks that way. Yeah. It looks that way.
And they elected the first black woman mayor in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Woman mayor, period.
Right, exactly.
And they elected, out in Pittsburgh, they elected the first woman county executive. Although it was a much tougher race. Right. There were things there. But, you know... Philadelphia was the last of the big major cities to have flipped from Republican to Democrat in the 1940s. But it's been steadily, you know, virtually no Republican has been successful. There have been a few.
Was Rizzo a Republican?
Rizzo was elected originally as a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he ran as a Republican. And the time he was running as a Republican is when he died in the middle of the campaign.
Uh-huh.
But Arlen Specter was elected there, I believe, as DA. Mm-hmm. There have been a few DAs that are elected as Republicans, but basically that's the extent of it.
And the Democratic state chairman, Sharif, sent out a letter pointing out that this statewide victory was a testament to his leadership of the Democratic State Committee. That was a big controversy, his leadership. His leadership was attacked as being inept, not paying attention to the election, not being able to raise money, not having good candidates. And yet, it turned out that he had a pretty good result.
Yeah.
But there is disarray in the Democratic State Committee.
Well, there's even more disarray in the Republicans.
Is there a Republican State Committee?
Yeah, there is a Republican State Committee. But, you know, the Republicans made a huge, huge effort to elect a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money poured in. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. The Democrats won.
The Democrats won everything on the statewide courts.
Yeah, the four appellate courts, the two superior, which, by the way, flips the superior court 8-7 now for the Democrats. And the president judge, who's a Democrat, who once ran for Supreme Court, was retained as a judge. So, and the Commonwealth Court is now, which was traditionally almost all Republican, has now gotten another Democrat Matt Wolf. So it was a good night there for the Democrats across the state.
And what was the turnout?
I'm not sure, but I think it was up pretty well. The younger voters came out in certain areas. You know, I was privy to a couple of weeks ago what the Democratic strategy was going to be and where they were concentrating their votes, and it came through almost perfectly the way they were aiming it. They were aiming it at big turnouts in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, turnouts in the Philadelphia collar counties, turnouts in Harrisburg area, and Lackawanna County they were working on. And all of those counties went blue. You know, when you look at it, the Democrats only carried about 10 counties out of 67, but they're the 10 that counted. They're the two biggest.
And did they improve in the rural counties, in the other counties? We don't know.
I'm not sure. I didn't do that, but their vote was absolutely spot on.
So, I know in my county, the Democratic vote was up almost 5%.
That's important.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you win, people start, you know, thinking positively and feel that they made a difference.
That's right. That's right.
They made a difference.
Now, in Scranton, there was a peculiar election for the state, for the city council.
Yeah. There were three seats up. There was an unexpired term for a 2-year, and then there was the two seats up for the full 4-year term. And one the rumor was that one of the Democratic councilmen was actually trying to align with one of the Republicans to knock out the other Democratic, the councilwoman. McAndrew, they said, wanted to knock out Jessica Rothschild.
Why? Because she was gay?
I don't know why, or maybe they just have a difference of opinion on matters. But it didn't, you know, it didn't even come close. She doubled the vote of Payne, Mark Payne, who was running for the Republicans, and the other Republican wasn't even close. So, you know, it was a very quiet election. You know, there weren't a lot of fireworks, but it went the way of everything else in locally, Democrats winning. And it was just the D on the ticket was the ticket to victory.
Well, the Moms for Liberty had a bad night.
The what?
The Moms for Liberty.
Oh, the Moms for Liberty, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're the book burners. They're the book burners.
Yeah, yes. Even though they were well-funded, people woke up. Remember, this has been the Republican strategy. You go on
stealth,
grassroots.
Stealth.
And once they get exposed, then things happen. But, you know, that's Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
Has been out there telling people, you vote, you know, get on school boards, get, you know, trying to, we'll control what young people learn.
Yeah.
They took a beating. They took a beating, and as well they should have.
Yeah. And we have an interesting election that the Moms for Liberty are involved in coming up, in elections for the library board in our county. The library board gets elected by the members of the library. To be a member of the library, you got to pay $25. And then you have to show up at the main branch, and you get to vote whenever they have these elections. These elections are coming up in a week, or 2 weeks. And there is a very well-organized and funded campaign led by one of the Baptist churches in the county, which has offered to pay the $25 for anybody who will agree to vote to turn out the current library board, because the current library board won't ban books.
Hmm.
They want books banned. So that's interesting. See what will happen. I've been to a couple of the library board meetings. This church is able to turn out about 50 people at each of these meetings. And they come and they yell and scream. They always campaign under the slogan, let parents be parents. But what their demand is that the librarians remove books and report to the parents whether any of their children are reading any of these books they don't like. So they want parents to be parents, but what they really want is for librarians to be secret policemen.
Well, I would hope that there's an organized effort against that.
Well, it's... It got swallowed up by the general election because Thursday this past, was the last day to join the library and be eligible to vote in this election coming up in 2 weeks. I don't know how many people knew about it and did that. I know the church had been working for a month or two, quite subterraneanly, as is their method. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
well, then they can cut the library budget because they won't have so many books to worry about.
They'll cut the budget anyway. Right? In any case, even if you win an election, if you're in Ohio, for example, you can win an election. The pro-choice forces won an election to get a pro-choice amendment onto the state constitution The voters voted 57% in favor of doing it. That's a very big majority. And the Ohio legislature now says they're not going to let it happen. They're going to prevent it somehow or other, right?
Yeah, they won't accept defeat. And this is typical now of the Republican Party. They believe in democracy only to the extent that they win. If they lose, they say that we're not going to recognize the loss. If you remember down in Alabama, where the Supreme Court of the United States said that we're invalidating your gerrymander, and they ordered them to fix it, the legislature said, no, we're not going to do that.
And the governor said, we're not going to do it because we know the state better than anybody.
Right, right.
Which is, of course, true, which is exactly why it had to be changed.
Right. And, of course, this is Trump's big thing, you know, that any election that we don't win is rigged. So in Ohio...
In Ohio, they don't even claim it's rigged. In Ohio, what one of the Republican legislators said was she has a God-given right to prevent abortion. Well,
right.
that's beyond... What do you have to have a vote for?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
and,
it.
You know, in Arizona, the Democratic Secretary of Attorney General is now investigating some of those fake electors with the eye of putting them on trial. And and one of them, who's being investigated, made a speech in which he said, we don't live in a democracy.
Right. So that's been a Republican.
Yeah.
Talking about, we live in a republic.
Yeah.
Which means that the rights of the minority get to trump the...
But the rights of the majority don't count.
Right.
Only the God-given rights count.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you saw Rick Santorum's vote thing, too, you know. He came out proving why he's not a senator anymore.
Yeah.
Said we shouldn't have to have votes on these things. These sexy things like abortion and marijuana.
Why shouldn't we have votes?
Well, because they can't win them.
But does it say, is there a portion of the Bible that says thou shalt not vote?
If there isn't, they'll make one up.
Well, you don't have to vote. You could have civil war. You could have riot.
Yes. Yes. Well, we...
That's the alternative. That. Don't they say politics is the peaceful form of war? War is the violent form of politics? Isn't that an aphorism?
Yeah, that's one of the things that people are worried about.
It's actually true.
Yeah. So we had that in Ohio. We saw in Virginia... The Republicans were trying a new strategy.
Now, in Virginia, I know that your family is a behind-the-scenes string puller. You probably are one of the Soros people that is part of the deep state in Virginia.
Well, I don't know if she gets Soros money, but it's the wife of my cousin. And she's been now, I think this is her fourth election now, to the House of Delegates. When I checked, she had 65% of the vote there. But the Republicans were trying something. What happened last time was Glenn Youngkin tried to mask his radicalness by saying he was really a moderate, and then tried to govern as a radical. And they were trying to push through a 15-week abortion ban. This was their strategy. See, we're not going to ban them altogether, and we're not going with Ron DeSantis 6 weeks, so we'll make it 15, and people will accept that. Well, it didn't work. I mean, he was also the great white hope of the Republican Party to have somebody besides Ron DeSantis that they could try to funnel money to challenge Donald Trump,
because the
money people don't. Yeah, but this took him out.
Yeah.
This took him out. The people of Virginia said, we elected you, but we don't like what you're doing, and we'll make sure you can't get anything through the legislature that goes against what we want. So that was a big victory.
Yeah.
And then down in Kentucky, Andy Beshear, the governor, who last time won by something like 5,000 votes, or a very small amount of votes, had a pretty big victory, I think a 5-point victory. over a guy named Cameron, who was the handpicked candidate of Donald Trump.
Ah, but there's a good story there, right? After Cameron lost, Trump had a wonderful commiseration, right?
Yeah, he said it was because he was too close to Mitch McConnell, which he wasn't, because, you know.
Trump endorsed him because he wasn't close to Mitch McConnell.
That's correct. But this is, you know, there's no accounting for that. People really wouldn't, don't really care about that. So we had that going on.
Well, all of that election is elections, and some of it, I guess, gives you some indication of what might happen in the next election, the presidential election. But we also have the Republican debate this week. What do you think about that?
Well, pretty much unwatchable. You know, they're down to five on the stage now. And it was interesting when I looked at the array right at the beginning. I couldn't stand to watch it too long. But three of them were people of color. You had Senator Scott, you had Ramaswamy, and you had
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley there. And it got kind of testy between them. I mean, Ramaswamy is just unwatchable. And the more he talks, the less popular he gets. And Nikki Haley literally called them scum during the middle of that.
How can an organization exist when people who want to be its leaders are calling each other scum?
One of them had a good point though, and I forget which one it was.
You mean on the head?
No, when they talked about that Ronna Romney McDaniel, who dropped the Romney name from her,
right?
Did you know they kept reelecting her and she keeps losing.
Right.
Elections. Why do we keep electing this lady? You know, she keeps losing. Of course, Michael Steele, when you hear him on MSNBC, he was the guy that actually won an election for
it. They got rid of him.
But they got rid of him. He was black. Yeah. You know, he was only there to offset Barack Obama.
Right.
And as soon as Obama was gone, they didn't need Michael Steele anymore.
Right.
You know, so... Ronna McDaniel is running, you know, keeps...
But I think the guy who attacked Ronna McDaniel was Ramaswamy.
He may have been. Yeah. He may have been. Yeah. Although, he's a Trump and Putin guy. By the way,
you look at these five of them that were up there on that stage. Is it barely conceivable to you or to anybody that any one of them could be a national leader? It's inconceivable. To me,
the closest might be Chris Christie, who has no chance. And he was if you remember years ago, when I think it was Laura Ingraham said, if we don't nominate Chris Christie, we're going to lose the election.
Well, she was right.
And she was right. Yeah. And she was right. They did lose it. But his chance came and went.
My puppy dog has a bigger chance, and he's not running.
He ain't going to do it now because he's...
The Republicans are a Christian nationalist party. In the old days, around World War II, they would have been called clerical fascists. These are not Catholic fascists for the most part. These are Protestant fascists. So
in the real old days, they would have been called know-nothings.
And in those days, know-nothings. Exactly right. They are in the American tradition.
They are.
They are in the American tradition. Yes. And in the fascist tradition. That's who they are. These guys who want to lead them, and Haley, they don't have the kind of charisma that a fascist movement needs. Trump does.
No.
But these guys don't.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't have any policies, which a fascist movement doesn't care about, so that doesn't count. So Trump is right. What are they bothering to have these so-called debates?
I don't know.
Exactly.
They're trying to raise money. And these candidates are just not, you know, going very far. And the question whether by the next debate, whether there will only be three of them left.
What's the difference? Who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I mean, none of them are going to be Trump's vice president.
No.
Because, Scott is a nothing. Ramaswamy is a negative, and the other three, one way or another, are attacking Trump. He's not going to choose them. He doesn't trust them.
No, this week he floated Tucker Carlson's name as a...
That's probably who he would choose, him or Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Or Elise...
Or Naomi, whatever it is, the governor of Naomi up in North Dakota.
Noam. Meanwhile, you know, that race could get more interesting because we have two new names to float about on that. Joe Manchin got out there with a video this week and said, I'm not going to run for re-election to the Senate, which probably acknowledges that he knew he couldn't win that race.
Right.
And he's going to be going around the country listening to people to see what he can... Basically, he's trying to stir up his own presidential campaign. But
so it's a little bit late to enter the presidential race.
And he's in the 70s. You know, people want.
And he's not a good fundraiser. In his campaigns, he never put up the money. The Democratic Campaign Committee put up the money.
Yeah, and you know, West Virginia didn't need that much money because it was a small population state.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he's going to be out there.
Plus that group, what are they called? The
oh, No Labels.
The No Labels group. They've managed to get on the ballot in 12 states. But they don't want a Joe Manchin. They don't want a Democrat to head their ticket. They want a Republican to head their ticket.
Right.
So I don't see what...
Whatever.
I don't know what he's up to.
And then Jill Stein reemerged from... I call her the Putin candidate. She probably hurt Hillary enough back in 16 to cost her a couple states, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. And this is the void that was left when Cornel West decided that for some unknown reason he was going to leave the Green Party and try to run as an independent, which means he won't get his name on any ballots.
Right. Right.
So those two emerged this week. We'll see where they go, but no one's going to be paying much attention to them.
What you did see was a lot of articles about Biden's unpopularity. There was a drumbeat of items about that. Biden is unpopular. Democrats win, but Biden should withdraw.
And meanwhile, he's getting things done.
No, but it's interesting. I mean, if enough newspapers and enough commentators say he ought to withdraw, people will think he ought to withdraw.
Yeah, but he isn't going to do that. Meanwhile, he's going out there with the unions. He appeared with the auto workers, and he reminded them that he walked the picket line with them while Donald Trump went to a non-union shop. And then this week we had the screen actors and the writers come to an agreement.
Yep. We don't know the details of the agreement, but there's an agreement. But what we don't have is any Republican plan to avert the shutdown of the government.
Right.
And they've got, one week to go.
Yeah, less than a week.
Yeah. Next Friday, if they don't pass something, the government shuts down.
But we've got to stop calling it a government shutdown. It's a Republican shutdown.
It's a Republican shutdown. You're completely right.
That's the difference in messaging.
Yep. You got it.
Why do you call it? Because the Democrats don't want to shut down.
No.
You know, and this, you know, they've shut it down, at least three times before.
Yeah.
And every time it's hurt the Republican Party.
And the country. It's hurt the country.
And the country. Yeah.
It hurts working people.
It costs us money and everything.
Yeah.
And they keep doing it. And this is very typical of them.
Yeah.
They keep doubling down, like what they're doing in Ohio. They're doubling. The abortion issue is killing the Republican Party, but they keep doubling down on it.
Well, let's see what happens this week. Let's see if they really shut down the government. That'll be the big news for this coming week. At this point, we're done.
Yeah. I just want to say congratulations to Julia Munley, who finally took the oath as a federal judge.
All right. Very good.
That's one thing Biden's been getting. He's got 150 federal judges approved, which is why he needs the Senate.
Yep. That's why he needs the Senate. All right. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.